All right, well, let's grab our note sheets this evening, and something we started 2 weeks ago, basically just touched on, and then last week I went plenty long on some of the things, and I don't regret it, if I can put it that way, but as we discussed some of our national challenges and so forth, and then some of the blessings, some of the great stories of the past and so forth. Our nation needs fathers to be godly fathers, is the bottom line. And to be, as we say in our title here, the model father. Boys and daughters, by the way, it doesn't matter which children, need to have a father that will model God the Father for their children. I mentioned this, I think, last 2 weeks ago, but let me remind you again. God is called Father in the Old Testament only 15 times. In the New Testament, he's called Father 245 times. There seems to be a distinct relationship that in the New Testament era, God wants us to understand who he is and what our relationship is to him. Obviously, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's God's only begotten Son, but we are his sons as well. John 1:12. You know, if we receive him, we're called the sons of God. And so we have a distinct, unique relationship. We often begin our prayers as God, as Jesus taught us. We say something like, our Heavenly Father. That's not a bad, he loves that title. And we distinguish him from our earthly father by saying Heavenly Father. But you could call him Father, and that would be great. He would accept that prayer, all right? He wants to hear that. So there is this relationship that God wants us to have with him that is a father-son type relationship. Therefore, it behooves every earthly father to give his children a proper view of God. So, as we look at our notes tonight, and I don't think I'll quite get all through them tonight. We've only got about 10 minutes left or so. But point number one, we are to model, parents or fathers are to model God before your children, right? Fathers, model God before your children. So letter A, like God, be a giver. There's your blank there. Be a giver of good gifts. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You see that we've got several references here. More of a topical study than just looking at one passage in particular. In a sense, if we wanted to say our title or theme verse was from Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't frustrate your children. Give them all of God's instruction, which includes knowing God, all right? So, James chapter 1, verse 17, we're going to see some characteristics of God that fathers should replicate and model before their children. Verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. With him is no variableness, neither of shadow of turning. God is a Father of lights. Well, what's that mean? We see things. He reveals truth to us. There are, especially in my old age now, older age, as I'm growing older, and these eyeballs just don't work like they used to. There are times where I'll stop a job on purpose because I want full daylight so I can see well enough, so I can see what I'm doing, to find that little, you know, line in that small screw that I can't get the screwdriver head anymore into, those kinds of things. God is a revealer of truth. Fathers, like God, be a giver of good gifts. When he talks about good gifts here in James 1, he's talking about gifts that are both useful, pleasant, excellent, and honorable. Maybe this coming Christmas, or the next time your child has a birthday, you're a grandchild, if you're here as grandparents, maybe the test of what you should give them, what toy you should give them, or what gift you should give them, should be, well, is it useful? Or is it pleasant? Is it excellent? Is it honorable? That might curtail what we give them. And as well, help our children to realize, wait a second, there are things that are wasteful, vain, empty, useless, not exceptional, actually debilitating or derogatory, all those things. God gives good gifts. Now, he's talking about life, not just about Christmas gifts or birthday gifts here. And God gives gifts that will come to their proper and complete end. What is God's purpose? Well, we're going to look at it here. We are in Hebrews chapter 12 under letter B. But God desires for each of us as His children to be holy, to become like Him. You know that I often reference we are to become like Jesus Christ, grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's good. And so He will gift us. He will give us things in our life. He will hem us in, which is good for us, so that we come take on the character of Christ. Dads, give good gifts to your children. Gifts that will bring pleasing and glory, God's pleasing, give God's glory to that child's life. That's James 1:17. And then Ephesians 1:2. Let's run there real quick. Ephesians 1:2. As a father, I often, and this is to my fault if I can put it that way, but I think it's human in some respects, we often don't consider the fact, wait a second, whatever God does, however He lives, and whatever His character is, those are the things that I need to be like towards my children and in my own personal character. Ephesians 1:2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God give? Well, He gives grace and He gives peace. The word grace encompasses salvation and all of God's sanctifying blessings to the believer. Dads, are you passionate about your children coming to know Christ? Or grandpas, about your grandchildren coming to know Christ? Maybe I'll pick on grandpas for a little bit. It doesn't matter if the grandkids like you. It matters if they're on their way to heaven. Now, be a good grandpa, but that's not the end of the day. And then, okay, my kids and grandkids are saved. Praise the Lord. Are they growing in Christ? Are they still experiencing God's grace in their life? Where God is growing them into the image of His Son. Where they're following scriptures. Dads, especially in your homes, you must. You've got, in our culture and society, you've got about 18 years. Whether we like it or not, and kids aren't, by the way, I'll just be blunt with you, they're not adults at 18. They may think so. There's a rare person I've ever seen at 18 that I'd say, boy, that person's really mature. They're an adult. They can handle life. I'm almost 55, and I still wonder that about myself. Okay, all right. But the reality is our training years are about 18. If they head off to college, and let's say they're still around the house, and we've had some of that joy a little bit in our home, where the kids have, you know, been, we've interacted a lot with them through the college years, which I think is so healthy in many ways. But okay, 21. What is the biblical cutoff point, if I can put it that way, where really the training is totally done and your relationship changes? When is that? Well, in some respects, never. That's right. Absolutely, we're still fathers, but usually marriage, right? Marriage is when all of a sudden that relationship really does take a change. And that's God's design, by the way. All right? Man cleaves to his wife. They two become one. It's a whole new home established. And so we take on the role of advisor then. Now, I can be a pretty strong advisor. and I don't begrudge. I mean, I'm going to do that if I feel it's necessary. I've confronted my boys. Hey, boys, listen. But it's a different tone. It's a different reality. I'm dealing with a man-to-man, if I can put it that way, at that point. So you have these years to give your children grace, to help them see the limitations that God places upon them that are good. Those fences are not bad, they're good. They protect them from wolves. They protect them from bad grass. All that pasture that God gives us, His Word, is good. And you have to keep your kids there. So, dads, don't be shy about this. You have those years to do it. Take every opportunity. So this morning, Drew gets up out of bed. I don't know what I was doing. I came by, and he was worried about something. He's my little worry wart. You know, he can cry at a drop of a bucket kind of thing. You know, all right, knock it off. Come on. And And the comment would be, the typical comment, come on, grow up, be a man, right? Get broad shoulders. No, wait a second. I want his heart to stay tender, but he needs to learn to trust the Lord, doesn't he? So my question to him was, Drew, are you saved? He said, I don't know. Okay, well, let's talk about this for a minute. Wait a second. All of a sudden, at that moment, life stops for me. I don't care who may be on the phone or what email I should answer. We're stopping for a moment. I need to give my son grace. He needs to know something about God. Well, what was his struggle? Well, I came to find out that he couldn't. He says, I don't remember the exact day I got saved. Well, that's not a problem. Who are you trusting to take you to heaven? Jesus. Did Jesus forgive you of your sins? Yes. Is he living in your heart? Yes. Then you're saved. Now, trust him. Okay. Let's stop crying and start trusting Jesus. He's with you. He'll help you. Don't have to cry about everything. All right? There we go. Okay. So, every moment, now that happens in those moments, sometimes those teachable moments happen at the worst times in your life. Don't miss them because they won't come back. That's God giving his good gift, his grace, and his peace. When God gives peace, he's talking about providing security and a wonderful relationship. Fathers, your children should feel secure about you when they're with you. I told you the story about the tornado outside our house. I was in high school, and Dad was up watching the shingling get pulled off our neighbor's house. But there was no bed downstairs in the basement, and I was tired. I was farming. I was having to get up in the morning. I figured, if Dad's in the living room, I'm safe. All right. If Dad says, let's get downstairs, son, well, then I'll follow him down and wake up. Okay. The security in Dad. How much more so do we need to help our children know that their only security is in God? That even Dad will fail them, but God never will. People will criticize. You make sure that you stand before God and your life is open and right, and then you don't have to worry about people's criticism. People aren't gods. You don't have to worry about them. Whether there's a boss that thinks there's a God, or whoever, whoever you fill in that blank. No, there's only one God. And he is the one to have the right relationship that will bring peace to your heart and life. You learn to trust him. Your security is in the Lord. You can live a heart and life that's full of peace. So dads, teach that thing. Okay, well, we're done for the night. So give good gifts to your children. Give good gifts. Gifts that will grow them in the Lord. Gifts that will give grace and peace. Lord willing, we'll finish up those next two next week. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for being our Father. And the things that you teach fathers here in particular. Lord, please help each one of our men here and their relationship with children and grandchildren. And whether even if they're not married, with nieces and nephews and children here at the church, then may they model God in every way. And may we tonight in particular be giver of good gifts, that we cause our children to, in everything that we do for them, grow in Christ, to experience God's grace and God's peace in their life. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, have a good rest of the week. If you can help out Saturday morning at Camp Joy for a little bit, see my dad tonight before you go.